This is Dr. Benny Tate, and I would like to thank you for tuning in to this week's message at Rock Springs Church. Wherever you are, I hope this message encourages you and helps you grow in your walk with God. Here's this week's message from Rock Springs Church.
Our scripture reading is found, very important verse of scripture. It's found in John chapter 12, verse 32. I love what this verse says. Look what it says. And if I be lifted up from the earth. Now, I believe the context there, folks, is that Christ was lifted up and crucified. He was lifted up and crucified. But if the context is taken another way, he and he alone is the only one worthy to be lifted up. Amen? He and he alone is the only one worthy to be lifted up. He said, if I be lifted up from the earth. Now get this. I will draw all men unto me. I will draw all men unto me. Brief word of prayer. Jesus, I pray today that you would speak to us and through us. Pray today, God, that you would give your word a free course to travel. You're such a good God. Thank you for all you've done. Thank you, God, that you're just a wonderful, wonderful Savior. Have your will and have your way. And for all you're doing and going to do, we praise you. I ask for a fruitful invitation, for I pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I have a hero in the faith. He's a man that I, of course, never met. His name was Charles Haddon Spurgeon. When Charles Haddon Spurgeon would walk to the pulpit, he would make 15 steps. And every step of the way, Charles Haddon Spurgeon would say these words over and over. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe he was the greatest preacher since the great Apostle Paul. The prince, literally the prince of preachers, who pastored the first mega church in the world, the Metropolitan Tabernacle in London, England. One of the highlights of my life. One of the highlights of my life. I served 10 years as the president of our denomination, and I did it on a volunteer basis. I did it just to serve the people. But after 10 years, they said, Pastor Benny, we want to do something for you as you step away. And they gave Barbara and I a trip to London, England. And I've always wanted to go because I wanted to go there and I wanted to study Spurgeon. So while I was there, I went to his church. And while I was there, I literally went to his grave. I loved Charles Spurgeon, just this great, great man of God. Now, folks, let me tell you something. He was a great man of God. He was a prince of preachers. But he battled some things. He battled gout. He battled depression. He struggled his entire life with depression. What are you saying, Pastor Benny? I'm saying Christians aren't exempt from depression. You can be a great Christian and still battle depression. And he battled depression. Let me give you some statements, some things that Charles Spurgeon said. Spurgeon said, God's too loving to be unkind. He's too wise to be mistaken. And when you can't trace his hand, you can trust his heart. Spurgeon is the one who said, morality may keep you out of jail, but only the blood of Jesus will keep you out of hell. Spurgeon is the one that said, I've learned to kiss the wave that throws me into the rock of ages. Spurgeon is the one that said, a Bible that's falling apart belongs to someone whose life isn't. But Charles Spurgeon, he was in Manitone, France when he died. And he was there with his wife, Susie. He loved her deeply. And he was there with his wife. And he said these words. These were Charles Haddon Spurgeon's final words. Jesus died for me. Jesus died for me. Folks, I think those are good words for all of us to say to ourselves. Jesus died for me. Jesus died for you. Jesus died for every one of us. Now, there's a teaching today that's somewhat prominent. I would encourage you to teach it if you want to close your church down. I would encourage you to do it if you want to kill evangelism in your church. I would encourage you to do it if you want to end your mission ministry. I would encourage you to do it if your idea of progress is moving back slowly. The teaching is something called Calvinism. Calvinism. If you want to close your church down, just become a proponent of Calvinism. Now, Pastor Benny, what I want to do today, I want us to look at this for just a few moments, and I want us to look at some of the tenets of Calvinism. Then I want us to look at what the Bible says. The first tenet I want us to look at is this. Calvinism says there is total inability. Total inability. That is to say, a lost sinner cannot come to Christ unless they're foreordained to come. A lost sinner cannot come to Christ unless they're foreordained to come. Now, I believe that the Bible teaches total depravity, that we're totally deprived without God. You say, Pastor, explain total depravity. Well, I'd rather do this. Let's let the Word of God explain total depravity. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:10 says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Psalms 51:5, listen to what David said, a man after God's own heart. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, in sin did my mother conceive me. Look what Ecclesiastes 7:20 says, for there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Look what Romans 5:12 says, wherefore is by one man sin unto the world, death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. One man said to his pastor, Pastor, I can't swallow that deprived heart. His pastor said, you don't have to. It's already in you. You don't have to swallow it. It's already in you. But folks, I'm grateful that Revelation chapter 22, verse 17 says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Ladies and gentlemen, total inability is simply just, it's just not scriptural. Now, here's the verse that they like to use. They love to fall back on John 6:44. It says, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. They say, Pastor, that's it right there. I say, wait. Rightly divide the word of truth. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. But I've got good news. Read on, my friend. John 12:32 says, and if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. And the word all means all, and that's all that all means. Amen? The Bible teaches we have a free will. You say, well, wait, Brother Benny, I can't get that out of the Word of God. That's exactly right. You can't get it out. It's there to stay. It's there to stay. Adam and Eve had a free will, and you have a free will. Total inability. But let me tell you the second phase. Unconditional election. Now, what does that mean, Pastor? Help me in elementary terms. Well, that means unconditional election, that some are elected to go to heaven and some are elected to go to hell, and there's nothing you can do about it. Friend, I don't mean it wrong. But if you believe that, don't sleep on your side tonight. Your brains will roll out your ears. And they go to Ephesians 1:4. Look what he says. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Ladies and gentlemen, that doesn't say we are chosen for heaven or hell, but it does say we are chosen that we ought to be holy and without blame before him. Nowhere does the Bible teach it's God's will for a man or woman to go to hell. Nowhere does the Bible teach that it's God's will for a man or woman to go to hell. The Bible says in 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all would come unto repentance. 2 Timothy 2:4 says, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth? Let me tell you the third tenet. The third tenet is limited atonement. That is to say that Jesus shed his blood for a limited group. Jesus only shed his blood for the elect. But look what the Bible says in Hebrews 2:9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. 1 Timothy 2:5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. What about John 3:16? For God so loved the elect. No, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Ladies and gentlemen, how horrible to have two little precious babies born. To have two little precious babies born. This week, Barbara and I kept her great niece. Precious little thing. Precious little thing. She's crazy about me. We kept her. Can you imagine? You got two little babies, and you're going to say one of them is predestined for heaven, and one of them is predestined for hell. I've got a Greek word for that: hogwash. 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 Jesus died for all people. In 1953, Billy Graham goes to Chattanooga, Tennessee. He goes to Chattanooga, Tennessee to preach at the Warner Park Field in 1953. But when Billy Graham goes there to have that crusade, he noticed there's ropes. And Brother Graham said, what are these ropes about? He said, they're about segregation. We're segregating the white people from the black people. And the black people can only come so far. And Billy Graham said to the head usher, you take the ropes down. The head usher refused to take the ropes down. Billy Graham walked down there himself and started removing the ropes and started removing the ropes and started removing the ropes and started removing the ropes. Because you hear me closely, Jesus Christ died for all people. He died for the white. He died for the black. He died for the Jew. He died for the Gentile. He died for the gay. He died for the straight. He died for the Democrats. He died for the Republicans. He died for the rich. He died for the poor. He died for the educated. He died for the uneducated. He died for the young. He died for the old. There's no limit to Jesus' love. He died for all people. The fourth component, irresistible grace. What does that teach, Pastor Benny? Well, it teaches that there are a certain group that can't resist the grace of God. It's irresistible. But folks, the Bible says in Titus 2:11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. Never one time in the Bible is the word irresistible used before grace. What is grace? It's God's riches at Christ's expense. But I want you to know something. I want you to know something today. Titus 2:11 says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. But we have a choice. We have a choice. Let me tell you something, folks. If a person goes to hell, they'll go as an intruder. But if a person chooses to go, they can go. There's no such thing as irresistible grace. There is grace, and you have an opportunity to come to Jesus Christ. But in the same aspect, you can say no to Jesus Christ. Today, some of you will make a decision for Christ. Actually, every person here that don't know Christ will make a decision today. You say, oh, Pastor, isn't that wonderful? Every person here that don't know Christ will make a decision today. Yes, and some people's decision will be no. But everybody here that don't know Christ will make a decision today. Because we have a choice. Acts 7:51 says, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always do resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye. We have a choice. We have a choice. In Luke chapter 16, I want you to get this verse. I'm almost done. It says, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, and the rich man also died and he was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. Get this, folks. He did not go to hell because he was rich. He went to hell because he was lost. He did not go to hell because he was rich. He went to hell because he was lost. Some of the greatest men in the Bible were rich. Abraham was rich. Solomon was rich. Job was rich. Isaac was rich. Jacob was rich. Joseph of Arimathea was rich. He didn't go to hell because he was rich. He went to hell because he was lost. Somebody said, Pastor Benny, money won't buy happiness. That's true. But I have learned this. Everybody wants to learn for themselves. Amen? He didn't go to hell because he was rich. He went to hell because he was lost. And friend, you will too. And I will too. Because we're lost. This man lifted up his eyes in hell. You know what I believe one of the most horrible things about hell will be? I believe it's all going to be horrible, but I believe this is going to be one of the most horrible things. Being in torments, he seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. I believe one of the most horrible things about hell is if you're in hell and you can look into heaven and see your loved ones there. That would be hell in itself. But this rich man that went to hell, I don't know if you've ever noticed this before, but look what verse 30 says. Verse 30 says, and he said, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they'll repent. Wait. The rich man's in hell, but he knew why he was in hell. He didn't repent. He didn't repent. He didn't repent. See, we have a choice, folks. We have a choice. If I believe predestination, if I believe that some are predestined for heaven and some are predestined for hell, I'll tell you what I do. July 17th of this year, when we're going to Honduras on a mission trip that you can go to, I'd cancel that trip. Because there's no need having that trip. What does it matter anyway? Some are predestined for heaven, some are predestined for hell. There's nothing we can do about it. I'll tell you something else. I wouldn't have given out 35 boxes yesterday. I egged 35 people yesterday. So, Pastor, I don't know who on earth to egg. Well, we can start out with Rock Springs membership list. Many of them have forgotten they're a part of Rock Springs Church, apparently. I know some are physically unable. I see them in the Mexican restaurants. I've even prayed about putting salsa in the foyer. You're able to go everywhere else, but when it comes church time, you magically become sick. Come on. Come on. God sees through that. You're able to do everything else but go to church. Able to do everything else but go to church. God help us. Excuses, excuses. You hear them every day. While the devil, he'll supply them. If from church, you'll stay away. When people come to know the Lord, the devil always loses. So to keep those folks away from church, he offers them excuses. When the summer, it's too hot. And the winter, it's too cold. In the springtime, when the weather's just right, you find somewhere else to go. Well, it's up to the mountains or down to the beach or to visit some old friend or just stay home and hope some of the family drop in. While it's a headache on Sunday morning, it's a backache on Wednesday night, but by work time Monday morning, you're feeling right all right. Well, the children may be sick. Pneumonia, do you suppose? While the whole family had to stay home just to blow that poor kid's nose. He'll provide excuses, folks. He'll provide excuses. But if I believe this hyper-Calvinism teaching, I wouldn't have preached 9 times this week. So you preached 9 times. 9 times. I wouldn't have got some men from our church and gone to Baxley, Georgia. We met Convoy of Hope down in Baxley, Georgia. Let me tell you something. What'd you do in Convoy of Hope in Baxley, Georgia? We gave out 300 boxes of food to needy families. 300 boxes of food to needy families. If gas don't go down, I'm going to get a box. You say, Pastor Benny, that's good news. Oh, that's not the best news. The best news was 30 people prayed to receive Jesus as personal Savior. While I was there, I trained pastors in the day and had a little downtime. They said, Pastor, the church, the sheriff goes to our church. Would you like to go over to the jail and preach? I said, might as well. So I went over to the jail and preached to the men and women there in jail. While I was speaking, one man said, Benny Tate. I said, that's me. He said, do you remember me? I said, I can't say that I am. He said, let me tell you, Benny Tate, you preached on a screen. I was in Burroughs Correctional Facility, and I gave my life to Jesus Christ. And he said, after I gave my life to Jesus Christ, you came down to Burroughs Correctional Facility and you baptized me. Do you remember me? Do you remember me? And folks, we was in Burroughs Correctional Facility talking to men and women, telling them about Jesus, because we don't believe that somebody's predestined for heaven and somebody's predestined to hell. Hey, I got good news. 39 of them accepted Jesus as personal Savior. The The more I preach, the more I share my faith, the more get elected. Amen. The more get elected. You said, Pastor, what do you say? I think Billy Graham said it best. Billy Graham said, because we aren't puppets, we have a choice. To believe in Christ and serve Him or reject Him and go our own way. Ladies and gentlemen, we're not puppets. You're not a puppet. You have a choice today to say yes or no to Jesus Christ. I'm done. But a preacher preached. And while he preached, folks, the Holy Spirit dealt with a person's heart. The Holy Spirit dealt with this man's heart. Now, here's all I'm going to say. I go to service. You said, Pastor Benny, if you're on vacation, do you just stay out that Sunday? No, I go to church. I'll tell you what I don't do. I don't jump up two or three times during the service and run out. Can I tell you what else I don't do? When the preacher says it's time for invitation, I don't try to boat out and beat everybody to a restaurant somewhere. You say, why, Pastor Benny, do you not do that? I'll tell you why I don't do that. Because, see, the man that's seated right beside me may be lost and on his way to hell. And it may be the only service that man's ever going to be in. So I don't want to do anything that would ever distract that man from coming to Jesus Christ. Me getting somewhere in a hurry is not near as important as that man or that woman's salvation. Not near as important as that man or woman's salvation. And the Holy Spirit dealt with that man's heart. And he said no. Just like you can say no. But let me tell you, he went home and he couldn't eat and he couldn't sleep. See, I still believe in old-fashioned conviction where you can't eat, you can't sleep, you can't have peace till you get right with God. You can't eat, you can't sleep, you try to brush it off, but you can't have peace till you get right with God. He stayed up all night. True story. He said the next morning, I got to find that preacher. I got to find that preacher. And they said, the preacher's leaving. He's on a train. He's going home. And he ran to the train station. And he saw that old preacher. Train was moving out. He said, preacher, how'd I get saved? The train was moving. He said, go to Isaiah 53, verse 6. Go in at the first all and come out at the last all. Go in at the first all and come out at the last all. All we like sheep have gone astray. That was every one of us. We have turned everyone to our own way. But wait. The Lord laid on Jesus the iniquity of us all. You say, Brother Benny, I want to get right with God. Oh, I've got good news. We can go in at the first all and we can come out at the last all. We can go in at the first all and we can come out at the last all and be right with God. I'm done. But Spurgeon said it best. Jesus died for me. And Jesus died for you. Jesus died for you. And Jesus died for all people. That's why we ought to just be nobodies. It's telling everybody about somebody that can change anybody. And that's Jesus Christ. Every head's bowed and every eye's closed.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message from Rock Springs Church. If you would like more information about Rock Springs, be sure to follow us on social media or connect with us at rockspringsonline.com. Join us right here next week for another message from Rock Springs Church.